So the first source here is a Tosfos in Pesachim, and the case is not doing malacha after Chatzos on Erev Pesach. Okay, so last time I want to focus on, and Tosfos says as follows. He says, "V'nira de'after bezman hazeh de'leika hakrava came in shenes ha'az aser li'olam." So the whole point of this gzera was that they were busy with the Karban Pesach. I mean, that's why they didn't do malacha, because the idea was your osik, you know, osik b'mitzvah. But nowadays, obviously, there's no Karban Pesach, and yes, we're busy on Erev Pesach. But even though it no longer applies, it's still aser. So why is it aser? So the Magen Avraham explains. It says, "She was manshu le Pesach." Okay, so he's contrasting it to another case, the case of nechashim, of snakes in the water, that they prohibited having open barrels because snakes could get in and would be dangerous. So that's not an exera that we hold of anymore. Even the Gemara says that was usur. Nowadays, we don't worry about that anymore. You can have all the open barrels you want. Go crazy. But he felt that an isur of malacha after chatzos should still apply. So what's the difference? How do we decide when to let Xer be null and void, not? So what's the chilek he makes? So the chilek he makes is based on, was it universal? Okay? If it was something that was universal, meaning when the Xer was made, it was made for everybody, then it stands. And then you need another based in Shigadol Shechachma Feminyan. But if it was only meant for a certain population or a certain location, so that does not require another base day gadlus of chachma minyan to override it. That can just be overridden or just kind of fall off the wayside. So, if the mitzvah changes or the situation changes, at that point, zera doesn't apply anymore.
Where does that come from? Where is this idea?
That's his svara. That's the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham, yeah. We see it also later in Beitza. And the question is, the Gemara mentions a gzera of clapping and dancing on Shabbos and Yontif. Okay? Okay. Sorry. That's right there where it was. So Tosfos holds that the Xera no longer applies. Why? He says it doesn't apply because nowadays, here it is. Okay. Lamed Amalav. Go to Beit Zal Lamed Amalav for a second. So it's Tosfos Divrei Maskil Tnan. In the middle there. So Tanan, Eimer Tachmei Maratin, you can't clap, you can't dance. Perish Mat Rashi, Shemay Takin Klishir. The reason is because you might end up having a whole party, you have a hoedown, now you have a banjo, and the string breaks, and you don't want to kill the party, so you'll end up fixing the instrument, and you'll be over the Malach of Matakin Kli. So Shemay Takin Klishir. Umil Didan Shari. But it's usher, it's mutter for us. Now, in his times, by the Middle Ages, he felt that clapping and dancing was mutter in Shabbos and Yontif. The dafki b'mehem, shayi b'kiyin lasos klishir, shaykh l'migzar. It used to be that in those times, I guess he felt that people were more handy. Right? At some point, Jews were handy. Right? They knew how to do these things, and there really was a concern, right? If someone's guitar string breaks, nobody's going to know what to do. We'll all look at each other like idiots. We'll have to wait till after Shabbos anyway to get it fixed. so it's no longer a concern.
It's maybe more like the musical instrument technology in the time of
had developed, expanded.
You know, it wasn't, you know, a violin or a guitar was something not, you know.
It wasn't simple.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe. Yeah, maybe. But here again, we see the same kind of logic that the Xer was meant for a certain population. So this seemed to be applying to everybody. This was not. So this isn't based on location. This is based on, you know, the time period. And if a Xera was based on that time period, now again, Tosfos doesn't quote another Beis Din or that overrode this. It just seems that the Xera just is null and void on its own, because the way the Xera was structured, it was made once you limit Xera to a certain time or place or people. At that point, you don't need another Beis Din. However, yeah.
Maybe you're going to get there. Where do the other Rishonim weigh in on this? Because I thought the Shulchan Aruch paskins that we don't.
That we don't.
Dan, clap and dance.
Well, those are Ashkenazim. The Ramah says it's okay. Right? So Ashkenazim say it's fine.
The Ramah says it's okay?
I'm pretty sure. Should we look it up? Another. And some Shin Lamed Tet. So the Mechaber says, "Ain Shatan Al Pnei Amayin." Gimel, Sif Gimel. "Ain Matabchin Lakos Kaf Al Kaf La Masapin Lakos Kaf Al Yerech La Meraktim." Shouldn't dance, or clap our hands, or hit our thighs. Gzer Shem Ain Takin Kli Shira. There must as Haga, Vade Masapin Meraktim Haidna V'lo Machinin Behu. Shouldn't Dimutav She Shogin V'Yeshem Dibizman Hazek Kol Shari. Deinan Bekin V'Asias Kli Shira. So first he says, you know, we shouldn't make a big deal out of it. People do it. Mutav sheh b'shogegin. So on so yeah. But then it says, the others say, I mean, this Tosfos, that it's fine b'zman hazeh. The lake of the mikdash shemay tayin kli shir, the milsad lo shchiyachu, v'ashar, sh'al zeh nagu l'hakel b'kol. And some are making on this, and he quotes based on Tosfos. So he quotes two sheepas.
The efshar l'hakel, is that his comment, or is that the end of his quotation of the second
good question. The Mishnah Berurah says, "Hi la kel bakol kai atipuch v'siba rikud." Rafil b'tu. It just says this applies to singing and dancing.
So one question. The actual issur is fixing the instrument, not playing it, right? The actual issur arises to fix the musical instrument, not playing it,
right?
Playing guitar.
It's the Rabbanan, so you shouldn't come to Shemay Takin.
So yes, we're not Shemay Takin. So what we're saying here is that then there's a further to the Rabbanan saying, don't even start clapping, so that you don't come to play an instrument, so you don't come to fix it.
It's a question. Yeah. The Gemara always gets out of that by saying, Kulachad Xerahi, and that's how they get out of it. That's what Gemara always does. Whenever you have a good...
What's the Ramah's sock here?
He's quoting two shitas. He's not passing in clearly. He just...
So that last phrase is the end of his quotation of the second shita, or that's him saying, Yesh Lahakil?
I'm saying Kulachad backfires here, because you're saying that we're going to override the Xer on clapping, and that was Kula, you know, and that kind of was also part of the Xer of even playing the instrument, then you should be allowed to play an instrument, according to Roma and everyone else.
Because if we're not worried about Matag and Klishir, then what's the difference?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep, I hear. And that's what the organ is based on, right?
Is it?
No. I don't know if they got that far into it. Although, look, if they made that argument, that's an argument. That's an argument. You don't see anyone taking it that far. Or maybe they felt that was... And let's just say that it was almost like a minhag not to sing and dance. There was a xeri not to play an instrument, and then there was like an additional chumra minhag or something, and that they can get rid of easily.
Like that, wasn't that one of the criticisms of the Hasidim when they came around? That was a non-halachic practice?
Yeah, but of all things to worry about, that was... Saying they had what to stand on there. But saying the Mechaber doesn't give any sheet to Lahakel. But, the Ramad says a Yesh Omrim, you know, that's his less... That's not his sheet, but he's quoting it
Mestama, he's saying... Better not to.
Better not, but if you...
Better not to, but there's... The Ikar HaDin is not to.
Right.
That's Ikar HaDin, how you're reading the Ramah.
It seems like his netiyah is to be machmir, but there's the strong side to be makil as well.
Well, what did Rabbi Yosef Paskin on this? Because he was saying,
yeah, no, but he followed
Mechaber.
Mechaber.
I didn't prepare a tshuva on this. I was mentioning this, but I wasn't getting into the halachic side. I wasn't going there, but okay. Now we went there. What I wanted to take from this, though, is that, you know, it's interesting that, I mean, that line of thinking. Now, again, you could apply that same line of thinking, which is maybe what people do, to the idea of malacha after chatzos on Erev Pesach. Meaning, if you're going to tell me it's all based on time and in certain times and places, well, b'zman hazeh, there's no issue, right? The problem is that's it. Now we're back to Yom Tov Sheni, right? Same thing. But what do you mean? If the Gzera was structured in a way that was meant for a certain time and place, namely when they had Kiddush Chodesh al Yidei Re'iyah, so then we should need another based in Gadosh Mechachim Minyan. It should just disappear, according to that logic. So that's where it gets a little murky here, you know. And that could be some of the reasons we saw.
I mean, we pray for the day, you know, please God, it'll be soon when the Sanhedrin is reconvened and Edim will determine when Rosh Chodesh is. That, you know.
Okay, so how's that?
But you can say the same thing about Shemi Yitakin, because we want the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt, in which case there'll be Klei Shir and
the Beis HaMikdash.
So that doesn't work.
Yeah. So, okay. But we're seeing some of the ambiguity here. Now, this even goes, another example. Next Tosos in Avodah Zarah. V'hidnu sho'al l'michos pechei. V'afa p'ishagam ata she'en karban sho'al l'michos pesach kodem l'amin yom. V'kod makam ikar ha'atakana ala karban nitkina damar time per kam shachem shari navi omei bepesach misha masra pesach sheni. The idea of learning about a chag 30 days before the chag was all based on, again, the carbon pesach. The idea was, you know, you have to really prepare for the carbon pesach. You have to know what you're doing. You have to really do chazara every year. You know, how much do I have to do chazara before hearing a shofar? Yeah, a few basic things. Like, do I need a month? But before the carbon pesach, you really needed to make sure you were prepared. So the idea of learning about a chag a month in advance, so Tosfos was saying that even though, again, that no longer applies, still that concept kind of remained. I had a smaller example.
I was learning chag is just learning about the korban pesach. I was learning about the chag because the pesach is, if it's just a korban,
right, it's still matzah. Yeah.
Right, but Tosfos felt that the original gzer was because of the korban pesach they established it, but then they kept it in, you know, afterwards. Okay, not the biggest deal. So let's go to the Rambam. So the Rambam says as follows. Based in Gadol Shadarshu Biachas Min Hamidos, Kafi Mashinir Bei Nehem. So this isn't just a gzera, this is an interpretation, right? This is learning the Midos of how to interpret the Torah. Shadin Kach Vidanin Dunundin. So they establish a din. Not a gzera, just a real din. Ve'amachrein based in Acher, Venirlo Tam Acher, Listeroto, Harizah Soter. So they have a right to go back in the earlier Sanhedrin. Shnemar ela shofet d'shiyeh b'yamim ha'hem en chachay v'lechet ela acher beisin shebedorcha. You're only obligated to go based on the Sanhedrin of your time. Beisin shegzeru gazru gzeru otakni takana v'nhigo minhag u'pashat adavar b'kol Yisrael. So again, he picks this up. It's so we're talking about a gzera, a takana, or a minhag. And it's for all of Klal Yisrael, so it's not based on a certain location. So that's when this applies. What?
Who decides that they're
Yeah, well, that becomes, in some other, the we assume that each generation is is less chashiv than the next than the previous
one.
You
can say that that's just for generations as a whole; doesn't necessarily apply to individuals.
Right. Meaning, Rav Moshe Feinstein was probably greater than the water carrier 500 years ago. But you're right. I mean, it's a common. I mean, that's we'll get the Sanhedrins that have been formed, and just the idea that Achronim can have to defer to Rishonim. Rishonim have to defer to.
Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva where he says, you know, that we can argue it on the Rishonim.
Well, we can paskin, meaning
we can even mamish argue on Rishonim. I think without an Achron, I forget where the tshuva is.
Okay.
We don't do that, but
right. But there's still a certain level of precedence that you know is set. You can't argue the Gemara Paskin something, then that's the psak. You know, we can't really, you know, we don't have much flexibility. So there are certain within the halachic system, there's a certain amount of precedent that's established. But you're right. I mean, it becomes very difficult, which is why we still have a second day of Yontif, right? So the real question is when this doesn't apply. That's going to be the real question, right? So he feels even if the reason no longer applies. So according to the Rambam, if the gzer was on all of Klal Yisrael, even if the reason no longer applies, it is still usur. Which again would be Yontif Sheni, and that would be the clapping, you know, the issue of clapping, which would make sense if the Rambam and the Chaber that the reason no longer applying is not a reason to say the gzer no longer applies. V'ayichu gadol lemehem b'minyan. However, kol beisin beisin shel shivim v'echadu. If Sanhedrin of 71 establishes it, you can't get bigger than 71. You can't make a Sanhedrin of 73. So how would you ever have gadol shel b'minyan? It wouldn't even make sense. So zem minyan chachmei hador sheskimu v'kablu hadavar. It's based on the number of chachamim of the generation who agree to this psak of Beis Din. It's very interesting. So gadol shel minyan doesn't necessarily mean the amount of people on the Beis Din. It's the amount of chachamim of the generation who agree on this.
The amount of unanimity?
The amount of unanimity. Mm. Right. Now again, let's say Sanhedrin establish something. We don't necessarily know how many other chachamim
yeah, we don't agreed. Know if it's squeaked by or
right.
Or, yeah.
So basically, if you have more than a Sanhedrin,
maybe that's why we require all the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael.
As part of it, yeah,
to reconstitute the Sanhedrin because you really.
We'll see. There's another Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin that discusses that in more detail. But you're right. This is definitely connected. But then the Rabbis, so I guess, arrived based in Shagazu Gzera, Ache Gadol Min Hashanim Chacham Minyan. Amavraim velo afilu Eliyahu beis dino, howal upashat isurin bekal Yisrael, kini isev vozara. Actually, right, how you go chachma? Amavraim itur shuke Yerushalayim beperus kasha leha, shirishonim teknua Rabbi Yochman Zakai bitla, acher charban mipnei shemit batel hatam, lerishonim velo haya galuk rishonim. So the rabbi asks on our the Rabbi Yochman Zakai cases. So what was Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai doing? Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai came in and said, "Beit Hashinol b'zeh, you know, Muteris b'zeh." Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai came in and he allowed for the Netzer Ravai to be put in Netzer Ravai, and you can bring into Yerushalayim. How's Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai going around and going back? So he felt that if the tam is batel, so then the gzera doesn't need. Then you just need, you know, the gedolim of your time, but you don't have to get into that much detail as to who is making the decision. So without, you know, again, Rabbi Chaim Zakkai was mevatel Yontif Sheni, but this ends up being seen as kind of a key machlokes Rambam and Raiva. The Rambam holds that even if the tam is no longer applicable, you still need gedol shachachm of minyan. But the rabbi says, no, if the tam is batel, then you don't need chachma minyan anymore. So that's a huge chiddush, and it has huge ramifications. People, I wouldn't say they use it willy-nilly, But it changes things. Yeah.
I wonder if there's any distinction in the fact when you think about the nola, the egg, and Yom Tov Sheni, whether one thing, why it's, no one's really gone and tried to challenge Yom Tov Sheni, is because it's a minhag, and it's an active, it's basically something that there's a minhag to do. There's an active action to actually do the Yom Tov Sheni.
Right.
While in the situation with like the nola, it's like, if the situation arises, it's not like it's a minhag of a shul to have a nola on the other. If the situation arises,
right,
then So maybe that's the no one wants to go against an established minhag that everyone is in the shul.
Well, if you remember
year after year,
if you remember back to when we started getting into the reasons for Yom Tov Sheni and why it still applies today. Yeah. So you remember the Rishonim use those kinds of languages. They use a language of minhag. There's a language of, well, we have to remember, in case this happens again.
Yeah.
They were establishing reasons why it's still important today to do this. Because if all you have is, we should do it because they did it, according to the Ravid, for example, then we wouldn't be bound to by this anymore. And the Rambam, you would, but according to the Ravid and maybe if Tosfos and others, you wouldn't be bound by it anymore. So you almost need to create a secondary reason why we're still doing this. And that's why the word minhag showed up so much, because it's almost a minhag at this point. It's almost like a takana to do it.
It's almost like you need a reason to stop doing it.
You
more
need
than like the reason to do it may no longer be there.
You need a reason to do it that's not based on it's a suffolk yontif.
Yeah,
that's basically what a lot of the Rishonim were trying to do, and this could be part of the reason why. Because if all it is a gzera that they did, and we need a when you're based on a Shagav Chacham Minyan, well, what if that doesn't apply if the Tom is Batel?
Mm.
So you get it, and then you could really have a debate on that. So they almost need to, and you see that they create other reasons. So, and this this logic of the Ravid, and we saw in the example of Tosfos and the clapping, we showed them that go in that direction, and that opens up quite a Pandora's box. Okay, last Rambam here. Medu Amurim B'Dvarim Shelo Asru. The Rambam goes one step further. If it was a siag Torah, it's chicken and milk, right? So what if you would say to me, look, Bezman Hazeh, we all know the difference between chicken and beef. It's not that hard to tell anymore. I'm not worried anyone's going to think that my chicken sandwich is a Big Mac.
Yeah.
So you could say, therefore, that the Thomas Batel and the Gzera shouldn't apply. So Rambam says, no, if it's a Siag LaTorah, that we assume always applies. That we assume. Gzera, like, like Yom Tov Sheni, or doing malach after chatzot and erev Pesach, or snakes getting into the water. So these are examples of things that aren't gzeiras. They're not siag l'torah. The netzer revai case. They're not siag l'torah. They're takanas, gzeiras for certain things, for certain purposes. But they're not protecting the ikar Torah. Anything that's protecting the ikar Torah, that would say always applies. And even another based on Gadol Shechach, many he feels couldn't override it. Okay, so these are like three key Rambams in the sugya, and very key machlokes, Rambam and Ravid. Okay, so the Radvaz says as follows. So the Radvaz lived in the 1500s, a few different places, Spain, Israel, then lives in Fez for a long time, Fez, Morocco. And actually lives kind of the majority of his career there, Fez. So first on the Rambam, it says, "Mashma midi Rabbeinu, afil shein based on the sheni gadol min rishon chachav minyan." Second. Okay. Yeah. Meaning, if the issue is the svara, the way they darshan out the Torah, so that a second basin can change, even if they're not Gadol Shev Chachav Minyan. V'atnan stama mishnah as edus ein basin chon levata dir basin chaveru achigal imen chachav minyan. V'yish lomar, tach masnis mefar shem beinu b'takanos gzeros. V'abedin min hadinim shalam den motan b'achas amidos Yachalavato. Bema Yikayim Kwa, Da'ala Shofar, Shebiyame, Mahem, Vachimashma, listen, Levato, they were based in Chaver. So basically, when it came to interpretation, when it came to paskening, let's say, just paskening halacha, right? So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a right to paskening differently than, you know, the Chassam Sofer or the Magen Avraham, right? He's not bound by it. Why? Because it's about interpreting halacha. So you can't say that, well, there was a consensus of what the halacha was in 1750, and therefore that has to be the halacha forever. We don't say that because when it comes to your understanding of Torah and halacha based on using the halachic principles involved, that you have a right to change. You don't need a base thing. Anyway, you know, any chacham, any posek can do that. And we see that. I mean, you know.
Yeah, posek against posek. I mean, the halachos isn't like a base in 1750 clear. It was like a sort of.
No, exactly. So even if it was a consensus at the time, it doesn't matter, right? I mean, yeah, you don't say, well, the Vilna Gaon said something, therefore, you know, of Shlomzalman Auerbach can't disagree. We don't think that way. So that's the whole idea of Goshul Chachamim doesn't apply to those types of things. I mean, that's what the Rav Avraham is trying to point out. You know, and I think that's an important point. The Meiri in Gittin says this one. Now the focus here is Prusbel. The question was, what if we want to get rid of Prusbel? Do we have a right to do so? Okay, so Hillel is metakin it, and it's established, and we assume it's not just Hillel, it's the basin of the time. But does that mean it's by definition Ladoros? What if a later generation wants to override Prusbel? So can they do it or invalidate the concept of Prusbel? So the Mir says as follows. Because you're taking Hillel at the Prusbel, Lolodor Bovad el af the kol hadoros, Habay Macharav. So Hillel's intention was not for his generation, his intention was for the future. He wanted to make sure that people continue to lend money, and that this wasn't a problem. The kolz manch de hashmatas ksafim no heges bo mendivrei sofrim meata kol basin shevel labatel in yipruzbo ain shomunlo. So if a future basin came along and wanted to mivata pruzbo, he says we don't listen to them. Shein basin yechel labatel divrei basin chavero elim hin gadlu menem chachav minyan. So he thinks that it applies there. Beafilu batla hasiba. And even the reason no longer applies. We now live in a world where nobody withholds lending money. You know, no one would think of not lending money for this reason because of Shemitah. Danibo bedin shel Hillel el shaf l'doros tiken mekomakom af hu lo hiter teretsua liyas l'ayde kol beisin shizdamin el dafka ade beisin chashiv umumcha mitzar chachmato shu kavu liyot shel b'nei hamachuz min hagim apiv ubaim l'fanav l'din meyata bezman hazeh b'makom shenogim b'shmatos ksafim hov v'ein beisin bat edinin. So nowadays we don't have a God of Shechach of a minion. We can't touch the Prusbel. For roads shloyeh shviyas mishamto yilve al menash shloyeh mitenu b'shviyas kemo shvim berishon shamakos. Basically, he felt that they didn't have a right to just get rid of it. Prusbel would apply, and they'd have to have a full based in chachamim to override it. Okay. The next one, I mean, another example, as we'll just mention, it's interesting, is Maya Machronim. So Maya Machronim is a good example of something that would seem to no longer apply, mm-hmm. Right? Because the reason the Gemara is, you know, so the Tosfos says as follows. Vahitim kedushim elo Maya Machronim, dafka lehem, shai regilim little yidehi amachar su'udim if they melch sedomis. Well, anush e melch sedomis matzubina, we don't have this melch sedomis. And this is not something we normally would do, to wash after a meal. So therefore, not doing machronim is not going to be, we can't bench. So someone that they're an itzdinus and there's someone who's careful with this and they'd always wash their hands after eating. So for them, they'd have to, it will be ma'akev. Again, he has no problem saying that this din is not really applicable anymore. So that's an example. Tosfos really, again, we see Tosfos does this in a few different places. He really doesn't seem to have a problem saying if the reason no longer applies, the halacha no longer, the gzera no longer applies. Okay, let's get into the rush here. Okay. Okay, the rush is as follows. So, if you have some sort of gzera that comes into effect, let's say from the times of the Gaonim, so they're not the Sanhedrin, they don't have some sort of, you know, authority to establish something forever. So how does it work? So why is any generation, why should they have to follow any sort of minhag from a previous generation? What gives them the yarmulke, wearing a yarmulke? Right. Who said? Why can't we, as a community, say, you know what? We're not doing this anymore. It's not really that important, and it's a more recent minhag. We collectively get together and decide we're scrapping it. So, what binds us to these minhagim? Just because this happened in early generations. So he says it's basically passed down. Every generation accepts it upon themselves. So they establish it for future generations, and each generation kind of reestablishes it. Dugmalder, for example. There's one chacham in our time. His name was Rabbeinu Gershom. Yeah, this is how we hear about Rabbeinu Gershom. He's like mentioned in the Rishonim.
Yeah, he's earlier than the Rashi, no?
He's earlier than the Rashi. Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. He's, you know, he.
Oh, but Barashenu.
Yeah, I mean, in previous generations, yeah. That's right. Tegan Takanos Tovos Binyan Gershom. He established wonderful Takanos when it came to divorce, not forcing a wife to take a get. And he considers him the end of the Gaonim, not the beginning of the Rishonim. V'taknu tav, ugzeratav kvuos utkuos, kilu natlu mi Sinai. And they're established as if they were given at Har Sinai, b'shvil shekablu malayim umasrim lador dor. So, it was established. Now again, what gave Rabbeinu Gershom any authority to establish anything beyond his generation?
Maybe nothing that the generation did establish for generations was the acceptance of the community and the fact that three generations in a row did it.
Exactly.
It was like, okay, right. You know, that, it wasn't because of Rabbeinu Gershom or anything in particular, it was just the acceptance of Kalasor of the Stakana for several generations.
Right, so basically it seems like every generation re-accepts it for themselves. Right? Now again, it's not like there's a moment every 20 years when everyone gets together and establishes it, but it just continues to be a collective decision, right? And the fact that we keep it means that's what gives it any relevance. It's relevant because we accept it. We wouldn't necessarily need a based in Gadol Shechach Minyan to override Rabbeinu Gershom. We wouldn't need it. He wasn't a based in necessarily. What gives it authority is that we accept it. That's it. You know, and that becomes, eventually becomes a minhag and eventually becomes established, but ultimately it's because we accept it. That's what gives it relevance.
So that's, if the Chachamim got together and wanted to get rid of it, then they could.
In theory, yeah. In theory. I mean, you wouldn't even have to say the Chachamim. You'd have to say the Jewish people. I'm saying it wouldn't have to necessarily even operate. The Rashi is saying it wouldn't operate in the world of a base in another base would have to come and override it. You would need collectively. We don't do this. You know, we don't have to do this anymore. You know, and just like that, it would disappear.
Yeah, kidneys. That's another one where it can become interesting.
Kidneys. Yeah, I mean it's a good example. Kidneys is a funny.
It has a rationale that you can argue no longer exists.
That's a style in Eretz Israel now, too.
To
get rid of kidney
ails. Well, it's an interesting example because in some ways you can say the Tam is Batel. Yeah. In some ways, the Tam is Batel. And it's interesting, and there's definitely Achronim, Rav Moshe especially, who tried very hard to stem the tide of being Machmer Kinyos. He really tried. In his, he said, Shuvas, he really tried. And it's funny, like, it just didn't take. When it comes to, there's two things where people are always happy Machmer. Pesach and Avelis. Those are the two. Everyone's happy Machmer, and like the more Machmer, the better. And, you know, he was asking about peanuts, and should peanuts be considered kinios? And he's like, no! why are we adding kinios? This is crazy.
Yeah, quinoa is the other.
What?
Quinoa.
Yeah, the quinoa. Quinoa is a great example. Why in the world are we adding kinios? For what reason? It's enough of a strength to say this should even be a din.
Yeah.
Why are we adding kinyos? This is crazy to do such a thing. It's like a kligus, you know, and that becomes, well, this is accepted minhag. Well, it's not. But if in 50 years, what if they said, you know what, we're cutting off half these kinyos. We'll do some of them, but this is crazy. Kligus could do that. I'm saying you wouldn't need a base din, according to the rush here, you wouldn't need the base, because it's not like Sanhedrin got together and established kinyos. So these things could just disappear if we so chose. We just have to choose.
Yeah. And our generation is not looking for kulas like that. We happen to live in a generation where...
Depends. Kulas for what? You know.
It depends. Like, the kinyos thing is funny. That's actually kind of polarizing. You'll find people who are like...
Yeah, but the poskim are stringent in our generation, at least in the Ashkenazic world.
I'll put it this way. Those who are more Mekil defer to those who are more Machmer.
Rav Moshe was something of a Mekil.
I wouldn't call him a Mekil in general, but he had his things he was Mekil about.
He was not looking to be Machmer. Where's today?
No real Posek is, by the way. No real Posek is. But okay, that's... But here, it's just fascinating that you would have... So even the Kesher Ben Gershom, the Rush is basically saying it's just Klal Yisrael who accepts it, and that's why it exists. If we stop to accept it, it could stop to exist in theory. With Kinyos, it's you're right. It's an atia to be Machmir, but what if society changes, and what if things change, and what if you know, like you said, Eretz Yisrael. The truth is, a big part of that is Sfarim Ashkenazim living together. Svartim are a large percentage of the population, and Ashkenazim get tired
of people
of not being able to go to restaurants.
Especially like Pesach, where you have Svartim Ashkenazim married, and they'll go 1 year this, one year that, and it's like
all the products and all the restaurants are kosher local kinyos.
Yeah.
You know, like I've been there as well probably 2-3 times for Pesach, and yeah, after a while you get tired of seeing kosher local kinyos. You tell you know like you know what this is stupid you know like at some point like that so you can imagine if you grew up and you see that enough eventually it's interesting will kinyos slowly die out in 100 years in Eretz Yisrael for Ashkenazim?
I don't know if
that's
made any inroads in the Haredi community though.
I don't know. I'm not sure, but okay. Definitely in the Dati Lumi community, I think it's started to. I think so a little bit. I think at the very least, there's not this enthusiasm of being Machmer with Kinyos. That I wouldn't say there is. Okay.
I know in Toronto that was like some. Let's say names. One of the women in Toronto was Machmer and Quinoa, and there was a bit of a revolt. People were like, no.
And the OU is getting Machmer on that.
It's a whole. I actually gave my whole Shabbos HaGadol drush about kinyos in general, and it's Rebelsky who's mocking our kinyos, and he's holding the whole thing back. And I don't think anyone, many even agree with him anymore. But the OU, you know, won't be making it without him. So I think he's holding the whole thing back. If Rav Moshe would not have been Machmer and Kinoa, that much is clear. There's no question about that. Okay. Um, So the Ravaz. This is the question I asked earlier. Okay, good. So okay, and then we'll get the Sanhedrin. Oh, it's getting late. Okay. Haklal.
Is there enough for us to continue this?
No, it was the last Makor. Okay. Last thing. So we'll finish with this. Okay. Haklal. Haklal. Haole. Haklal ole. She'ed ani ro bizman hazeh. Eight losses could they laugh fair to our tenu afilu nishnat minag lo nie ketam in cholik al rabo kasher chashfu bali a taina vakala hevin shlo nemar kvi kiyot mizeh vim tomar amina in kol davar shneser b'minyan tzarech minach le'atiro. So halo kasha, this is what we're getting for chada de lo neser b'minyan shlo hai takana klalis of lo kavua kemosh ketav tolio. So in order to apply this idea that you need a basic gausha chav minyan, it needs to be something that applies to all of Klai Yisrael. Va'och the kind of zol lo hayta ligdor geder v'las or davar hamutar kadesh lo yavo lahatir aser. So this only applies if we ask for something that was mutter. K'moshe gazru b'yenam, like stam yenam or yain nesach upitan shalako mishum chasnus ve'ad rabba hayta liftor hachiyuv. This is the whole issue was an issue of what shliach tzibur should do, and the different minhagim had developed. V'tikin li palel achas mishum es lasot Hashem v'chihai lo tzarech minyan achal azira b'ledino v'achimashim l'shin kol davar shenes avar shem minyan. That if it's something that was an additional thing, something that was mutter, meaning one group had a minhag that the Shliach Tzibur davened out loud, one that he did it quietly, for example. So the minhag was developed one way, and then they wanted to change it back. You wouldn't need a beis din. According to the Ravaz, you don't need a beis din to bring something that was a heter. You only need it when it was there to aser something, for gzera. But he feels that if it was an addition, or just something that was mutter, something additional, so then it wouldn't apply. Okay, all right, we'll stop here. That's late. But so here, look at this case. I kind of laid out the case in Svat, what they wanted to do to create a Sanhedrin there. And the Rambam there, you see in the bottom, that's really what it was based on. Okay, let's stop here.